And that's the truth, isn't it? The truth, things can be difficult, we can go through all sorts of different circumstances, but at the end, our God is good. You know, how are we going to start? Well, I think first of all I should say that we've changed things around a little bit, because I was conscious that in Scripture it says the word is preached, then the signs and wonders follow. Well, previously we've had the word at the end, and we've had the ministry time in the worship before. And I got to, hang on, that's the wrong way around. I'm not into legalism, but when God's word says signs and wonders follow the word, I change it around. And actually, from what Nick says and Amanda, it actually works in better with the children. That they're not sit here for such a long time before they go out. You know, so something good has come out, you know, come from that. If the children are getting blessed, for, you know, we're getting blessed, and we're just following through with what God said. So if you've wondered why we've changed it round a little bit, that's the exact reason. So we'll go back. How are we going to start? Who we are in Christ. Thank you, Jill. Somebody's been paying attention this last few months. Yes. Who are we in Christ? We're children of God. We're born again of the word of God. We're forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus. We're saved from sin and its consequences. I'm a little bit loud, Tony. I'm reverberating. Saved from sin and its consequences. A new creation in Christ. We're delivered from the curse of the law. Yeah, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're accepted in the beloved. We're complete in Christ. We're alive in Christ. All of these things. And that's just not even halfway down the list of who we are. So we can keep going on. You know, we can say, we're like a diamond. Have you ever been referred to as a diamond? Maybe it's a hard nut, but how about a diamond? You know, you've got so many different faces, so many fronts or surfaces on the diamond, but they all make up that diamond. And that's what we are. If all of these different things of who we are in Christ, they make up who we are. But what have we got to remember? That's right, we're a work in progress. See, it is registering. You know, they tell me the educationists tell us you've got to repeat things for people to take them in. And sorry, Nick? Oh, I don't know that I even say that. Yeah, and the thing is, the older we get, the more you've got to hear it sometimes. So keep on going, folks. It's sinking in. Yeah, we're a work in progress. You know, I've been bringing these for several weeks, for several months now. Yes, it is months. Because I believe it is so important that we get hold of this, that I get hold of it. I don't know, each week, if we can just pick up a little bit more of who we are in Christ, that we can accept that little bit more, that it's not the case, no, that's not me, that's somebody else. No, it's you. If you're a born-again believer, who we are in Christ refers to you, not just anybody else. We may not see it yet, but we're going to get there. We're moving. It's a progression. We're moving on down the line. It's important. And because we're slow learners, I keep bringing it. I shouldn't be saying that, should I? Because I'm speaking something into you there, that you're a slow learner. No, you're not. But you're not exactly rapid. Whoops. Where did that come from? Who said that? Yes. Yeah. The truth is, the reality is, the Bible says it. So if the Bible says it's right, it's right. And we've got to just accept it. If we don't accept these things of who we are in Christ, we're effectively saying, God, you're a liar. And that's a very silly place and a very silly thing to do. It's interesting, isn't it? As you know, I was away on holiday, and I asked John to speak when I was away, and Steph to do a speak last week, so that when I came back on Friday night, I didn't have to prepare a word on Saturday to bring on Sunday morning. And I'm learning, you know, with my wisdom, but getting more wisdom. It's a lot easier to get somebody else to do it than me do it in one day. You know, and John said, what do you want me to speak on? I said, I don't. I'm not going to tell you what to speak on. I'm real helpful like that, you know. It's like I don't tell the worship leaders what I'm going to speak on, so they get no clue whatsoever. It's because it's Holy Spirit inspired. And I trust them to bring what God has given them to bring. And I didn't tell them, but what did they both speak on? That's right, Jill. Who we are in Christ. Independently, Holy Spirit told them to speak on what we've been speaking on. I take that as a reinforcement of how important this subject is, who we are in Christ. God has told us revival has been dispatched. I believe that we are moving into a time the like of which we have never seen or experienced or witnessed. And I think that's going to be right across the country. But just keeping it with ourselves at the present time, we have never experienced this before. We may have had snippets, we may have seen little bits, but this is going to be so vast, so great, that we haven't experienced. It's going to be, wow, God, it's coming through. It can be challenging. It could be challenging at times. Yeah, as we've got to embrace things that we've never experienced. And that's when we make a choice. Is this God or is it not God? Do we believe, just because it's not in our experience level, are we going to go with it? Or are we going to block it? It's said that the people who block the next move of the Holy Spirit are the people who experienced the last move of the Holy Spirit. Because they believe that they know the way to do it. No, God's on the move. God keeps changing things, doesn't he? And moving us forward, giving us new ways. We're going to see more and more of God, the likes of which we have never seen before. We have to be sure our foundation, as we step out, that our trust in God is solid. That we are founded on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some things could come in and try and hit us. But if we're founded on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know we have a sure foundation and we shall stand. When I was away, I believe God told me what the next thing was that I had to speak on. And both were listening to John's recording and hearing Steph last week. They both confirmed what I believe God said I had to speak on. But before we go into that, I just got a slight correction that I want to make. I believe my job is to encourage, to build up, and to protect the flock. I don't like criticizing, and if I am criticizing, it will be constructive. And to build up and correct. I was listening to the recording that John did, and he was talking about the list of things. And he said, Robert's written a list of things for revival. That list there. But what does God want? We've probably discussed this, but I didn't know. And he asked, what does God want? And there was one voice you could hear on the recording, which said, be prepared. There was another voice that I couldn't hear what was said, but that was only two people out of the whole congregation, spoke and said, "What does God want?" Two responses. And John went on, "What does God want?" We're moving on in God, but I believe we may be holding ourselves up, not doing the work that God wants. Revival's been dispatched. It's in the birth canal. Are we in the way? Or doing what God wants? And that rang an alarm bell straight away. John said, "I believe we may be holding the revival up." You all heard how many registered that statement? Or was it just a subconscious? I know one person certainly in the room registered it, that it had been said. We've got to be very careful what we take in and we take on board. John also said, this is going to be a grassroots revival. And yes, it is. It's for every one of us to be involved in it. That list, can you remember how it came about? I asked Holy Spirit to come upon and touch everyone and to prompt what God wanted for the revival. We paused and then I said, right, what is it? And it was rapid fire, if you remember, that list was written down. In fact, Helen couldn't keep up the speed they were coming. So we had asked Holy Spirit what he wanted. Rapid fire. And you know, I was taught years, and I don't know how many years ago, that you trust your first thought. Because your first thought is the Holy Spirit. The next thought is when your human mind gets in the way and starts, well, we'll just water that down a little bit if we go with our first thought. And our first thoughts was that list there that we believe Holy Spirit gave us at grassroots level for what God wanted for revival or in the revival. On several occasions, we've asked God what he wants. And I've actually said numerous times when we've been praying that list is not exclusive. And it can be added to. Whatever God wants, whatever God prompts, we will do. The rolling fast sheet. By the way, we need some names on it. There's a new one out there, and I think we're up to Tuesday of this week, or Wednesday of this week, with names on, so we need some there. Anyway, on the Rolling Fast suggestion list that I put out, that our job, the very second thing that I put, ask God what else he wants to bring. So right from the foundation, right from the birth, we have been asking God what he wants to bring in revival. And you say, well, that's second. Yes, it is second, because the first thing was remind ourselves and bring before God what we are asking for. The flip chart. Why is the next thing that God wants? Why did I put that second? Because he's already asked for those things. And it's for us to recognize that they're what God has asked us to do. We're asking that for the direction that he is already pointing us in. Notice there were only two responses from the whole congregation. What did God want? Nothing extra. And I'm going to put yet on there. You know, I've always worked on the principle when I'm driving through somewhere strange, through a strange city, and I don't know where I'm going, you keep going straight on till you, before you see a direction, when you see a direction, you turn off. but you keep going straight on. And I believe that's the same with us now. We've got to keep pushing straight on until God says, change course. He's already given direction in prayer for us to push for this revival. And there are what he wants us to start with. God knows the course we're on. If we need a course direction, he will give us. We've got to push in to bring to birth these lists. What did Satan say to Eve? Did God say? And I think we've got to be very careful. We don't start questioning what God has already told us. Once we start to doubt, we divide. When you divide, you go nowhere. And John mentioned the buts in his word, and they were so correct. You remember the people who were but this, but that, but the other, when we move on into doing something new. The ones that are opposed to change, opposed to no more, and we don't want things to alter. Let our things not be but let's get a move into places. It's your will be done, Lord. Let's move forward there. My role, my job, is to correct any oversight. I don't think John meant it when he said it, but that's just the way it came out. We are asking God what he wants. We have done so from the very beginning. We are asking God regularly, is there anything else you want to bring in? We are not shutting God out. We are working with the prompts of God to keep moving forward. What do we want? What does God want? He says, come on, push this revival into being. Revival, it's God's timing. It will be birthed exactly when God says so. He's told us not to doubt. He's told us not to get distracted, but to keep pushing on. That list are givens for revival. Has anyone ever heard of a revival without an outpouring of Holy Spirit? Or without healings? Or without salvations? Or without any of those things on there? So you could say, well, we didn't even need to put that down. But God's saying, look, that's what I want. That's what you're going to expect. But anticipate more. So when we're praying for those, we are praying in the direction that God wants. We are not in the birth canal blocking it. We are moving forward. You know, if God told us everything before revival struck, how exciting would that be? If we knew, where's the awe, where's the excitement, the anticipation that when something happens, you think, wow, that's God. So he wants us pressing in to what he's already given us. We haven't experienced all that yet, but we are going to. But as we move forward, and then God's going to come along and just slip in the other things that he wants. So we step back in amazement, and that's our God. Just look at him. How wonderful. Yeah. I hope that hasn't come across as harsh, but it's something I think it's very, very important that we do not get that seed of doubt in our mind. Because that statement could become a curse, which would stop what's happening. So I've nullified that now. We are doing what God has asked us to do, and we are pushing through in that way. On Wednesday night, those that were here, I put a clip on, and we saw the power of God at work. We saw the power of prayer. We saw the power of praying for revival in that church. I mean, when we finish, I'll ask it and just be put on when we're having coffee. So if anybody didn't see it, it's worth 5 minutes of your time. It's one of those things, wow, that you look at how something can grow. A church of 300,000 people, the biggest church in India, one of the biggest in the world, and growing. The pastor's vision, he started in 2010. He's now over 300,000 people with the vision within the next 10 years as another 40 campuses of the same size across India. That's a canny few folk. Yes, but it's worth a watch, yeah. I'm changing metaphors. You can't steer a ship in the harbour. It's stuck. It doesn't move anywhere. You can take the moorings off, and if you put no power to it, what happens? It goes backwards. It goes nowhere. Could it be? I don't know that there is or there isn't, but could it be that there's a mooring rope still holding us up from moving on? Hindering the progress of where we're going. But bearing in mind, God's timing is perfect. So if there is, there's a reason behind it. If we haven't got there yet, I'm not being funny, but how long have we been praying for revival? When you look back in some of the history, how long were they praying for revival? If we get it this week, we're one of the rapid fire revival people. And I think we're going to be. I'm not saying we're going to get it this week. Please don't hold me to that. But I don't believe it's very long before we tip over into revival and we're going down the hill. I said both John and Steph confirmed what I believe God had prompted me to speak on. And what I got was the little voices. The little voices. And both John and Steph spoke out about the little voice in their head that was telling them. And I just got that, as I say, when I was away, before I even heard what John and Steph were speaking on. So I think that's how important it is. If God's saying three times the little voices, that we take notice of what we're talking about here. How do we deal with the little voices? Knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing who we are in Christ comes from an understanding of what Jesus has already done for us. Jesus was and he is our perfect example. He modeled life for us. He walked and showed the way as he lived on earth. But then he went to the cross and he died on the cross. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again and he ascended into heaven. And we'll come back to that at a later stage. Really, we're not going to get very far into it this morning. I'm really just setting the scene for what I'll be speaking on, carrying on about combating the little voices. But in 1 John 5, it tells us, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's eternal life. Resurrection life by knowing the Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given us his Son. Now that word testimony, we're talking about here that God is saying, if we've got, are we born again, we've got life. He says, that testimony, that's God saying it. And that's a Greek word. And it means, the testimony actually means judicial evidence is given. So God is saying, the judicial evidence that I give you is if you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. In John 5, verse 24. Yes, John 5, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That word passed, it means to change places. Yeah, let's get me place. Yeah. When we accept Jesus, we shift in the spirit realm from a place of condemnation and judgment to a place of redemption and life. This is a legal shift, a legal change or transition. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Notice there's two. There's the thief who comes to steal and to kill. That's his desire. And Jesus' desire is to come and give life, to give abundant life. Every single promise in Christ is yes and amen. Remember, we're a work in progress. And these promises are progressively ours as we progress into our work, our life with God. I put down here, remember the courtroom. But I'm conscious there'll be probably more than half the people here weren't here. Because if you can remember years ago, the creche used to be made, I used to transform the creche into a prayer room. And we used to do 24 hours of prayer in there. And when we first started, I thought, well, who's going to do the night watches? And it got to the stage, it was almost a fight for who was going to do the night watches, because they're the ones that were most popular. It was getting people to fill the middle of the day. And you think, come on. But we used to do 24 hours of prayer running through. And you did it in hour slots. And it would go, can I not stop for 2 hours? And one of the times that I did it, I rigged it up as a courtroom. A courtroom where there was the bench where God was sitting. There was Satan and Jesus. Yeah. Our adversary or our accuser and our advocate. And when we look at these different things that I've been bringing before you, they are judicial terms. Now, I know it can sometimes take a little bit of getting our heads round, but there's a court in heaven, and we need to be approaching that court. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Yeah, that's talking about Jesus. He always lives to make intercession for us. And he is actually the one in the courtroom. He is the one who is speaking out for each one of us. Always lives, continually speaking out. On the other side, we've got Satan, who's actually the accuser of the brethren, who speaks out day and night trying to accuse us. But we're told, aren't we, in Revelation 12, the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. That's a stage that we're coming to, but it's actually reinforcing the fact that the accuser is there all the time speaking out against us. Satan knows he's a defeated foe, but that doesn't stop him trying to accuse, to hinder, to hurt. Jesus has stripped him of his legal rights, the rights that Adam and Eve gave him as they handed them to him at the fall. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice again the language, the adversary. Not our enemy, not the person against us, but a legal term. Yeah. It's the Greek word antidikos, and it means legal opponent. It means against rights. So the devil is trying to deny us what is rightfully ours. The delay of the revival through resurrection power, God isn't stopping us. It's the withholding it. It's Satan who's actually trying to hold things up on the basis of legal claims against the church. Now, we don't have to think very much, do we, to think, what's the church done wrong? Or what have we done? And we need to get that sorted out to be moving forward in the way that God would want us to go. So say the heavenly court takes a little bit of understanding, but we've got to be assured that we can access through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:19-22 tells us this. And if we're doubting, where do these courts come from? Look at Daniel 7:9-10. There's a clear picture there of the court. It's described. The court sat in judgment and the books are opened. These are the books of our lives. These are the books of what's going on in history. And there in the courts of heaven being opened up. And there are judicial, statements or verdicts being pronounced on the different things that are being brought forward. Jesus is in the court putting his case forward. He's praying. It's a reality. He's died for us. He's not just going to give up on us. Satan is on the lookout, accusing day and night. The voices in the night. Who gets voices? Who gets people speaking to them? I think, if the truth's known, nearly every one of us, thoughts come flying in from all over the place. Seeds of unbelief, seeds of doubt, denial, rejection, fear. All these voices come in. To get peace, we've got to stop the voices. And Isaiah 54, a very familiar verse. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, when we look at that, every tongue which resists, who rises against you in judgment. Yeah. We've got to note the wording. The tongue rises in judgment. We've got, where are we? Yeah, in the Amplified it says to refute the tongues. And refute means to prove the falsity or the error of a statement. So who's got to? We have. We've got to speak against the things that are coming at us. We've got to speak against the voice in our head. And John said, if you remember 2 weeks ago, he said the voices in his head in the middle of the night started. And he said, whoa. And what did he do? He went back with what God had told him. He went back with the word of God. We're going to be looking at this in a greater detail. Yeah. We need to know our rights. We need to know the truth of who we are in Christ. Because if we allow these voices to go unchallenged, they will bring judgment on us. It tells us that in the word. I've read it out there. And if you think, hang on, that's, where does that come from? If you want a scriptural basis for that, go to Job. Yeah, David verifies that. Go to Job. And everything was fine until Satan started talking. He was given permission to go so far. But when the voice, when he started the opposition and, if you like, brought a judgment in on Job, that he was going to lose this, he was going to suffer that, he was going to... But there again, God came back. And the voices that rise up in judgment against us, that Hebrew, is the, that word judgment in the Hebrew is mizpah. And it means a verdict pronounced judicially. Back to the law courts. So this can mean the voices or the tongues against us can result in a verdict or a sentence being passed upon us, which can cause take effect in all areas of our lives. The little voices can creep in, just like that. Beware of the little foxes. They're cute when they just first come in, but as they grow, they create havoc and destruction. Likewise, the little voices in the head can cause havoc and destruction. What's going on in the spirit realm can affect the natural. But take heart. What are we told in Revelation 12. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death, unto death. We can overcome when the accuser comes against us. And again, the accuser there, it's another one, another legal term. It's against one in the assembly, a compliant law. So, sorry if I'm laying the foundation here. For all of this, all of these different things we've come through are judicial terms referring to the courts of heaven. And we need to be au fait. How do we go on? How do we operate in the courts of heaven to silence the little voices? So I'm going to say to be continued.